It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
I almost went a little deeper on the Boz Scaggs bumper music today, but I do like Lowdown, so we went with that. We are getting off to a strong start here on a Monday. You know, one of the things that we were trying to keep crosstabs on, Sue, is that some of us have off next week, some of us don't. I think Fred is off for Thanksgiving week. I'm going to be off next week. I think Sue will be here. Mike Elam is going to be pinch hitting, but we have a lot of time between now and then, of course, and another roundtable on Friday. You can always follow, of course, on Twitter at Mark Reardon KFTK. I was talking a little bit about Greece earlier today. Would love to have you on the Greece trip. We only have a few cabins left on that. You can find out more at defineddestinations.com or again at the top of my Twitter page. I have pinned that. Frank Mealy's coming up at the bottom of the hour. He is one of our good political friends in Montana. Old print journalist guy, used to run the Daily Interlake, but he writes about politics on Real Clear and has written books, and he's going to weigh in on some of the post-election stuff. And we have audio cut of the day. I never got to this. Did I ever play the audio of the kid in Chicago, the eighth grader? That's pretty good audio. That might be saved
Wait,
for audio
which
cut
one?
Of the day.
The eighth grader? Of
you
the...
have this. Now, I think you heard the other one with the young girl that was interviewing Tyson. There's
right.
This kid in a class, I guess it's a middle school class in Chicago, and his class is having a conversation. I'm guessing it was, well, it could have been any day after the election, but his teacher's telling them how, you know, because he has friends that voted for Trump, that he's not going to be their friends anymore. A theme that has been in my life here the past couple weeks. Well, this eighth grade kid, black kid, just starts, you know, saying things that make a lot more sense than what his teacher said and really has a great response. So I'll get to that here in just a little bit. I have some friends in the studio with me this evening from Columbia, Missouri. There's some of the friends that still talk with me, Sue.
Oh, that's nice. So there's a few, the proud.
Yeah, there's others in Columbia, Missouri that apparently are not talking to me right now. But Steve Watts is here. He is a professor at Mizzou. We go way back through a friend of mine, Cindy Schultmeyer, and her husband, Steve, is also in the studio because they brought Steve Watts in. He's written a book called Citizen Cowboy about Will Rogers. He's written many books in the past, and he's with us in the studio this afternoon, Mr. Steve Watts. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Mark. Thanks.
What was the last book before Will Rogers? We'll get to that. Was the last book Hugh Hefner, or was there one before that or after that?
I think there was a couple. I think the last time I was here was for the John F. Kennedy book.
Oh, that's right.
2017
But it wasn't as interesting to me as the Hugh Hefner book, because for the Hugh Hefner book, you got to go hang out at the Playboy Mansion, and that, well, who wouldn't want to do that? But you did tell some really interesting stories about that, Steve, didn't you?
Well, I had some pretty good stories.
You were working, though.
Actually, I've got a good Mike Tyson story.
Do
about
you?
That.
Please share. Please share.
2005 Halloween weekend, Mike Tyson is there. And for the festivities on movie night, Friday night, shows old movies, probably 100 people there. Cell phone goes off, which is like verboten. Cell phone keeps going off, keeps going on, middle movie, Hefner's looking around, everyone's looking around. Finally, we discover that it's Mike Tyson's cell phone, and he has fallen asleep, and everyone is too scared to wake him up.
Okay, that is
so
hilarious.
So we just let the cell phone go through the movie.
Understandably so, right? That is a good story, a good one here for this Monday. So I'll be honest with you, because I shoot straight. You know, Will Rogers eludes me a little bit historically, you know, the importance. I remember when I was a kid, references. Yeah. And Sue and I are roughly the same age, so we were talking before the segment. Don't know a lot about Will Rogers. Let's start with one of those basic questions of an author and a historian like yourself. Why focus on this guy?
Well, I'm a cultural historian, and all the books I've written have been about cultural figures. And Will Rogers was probably the most popular man in America from about 1915 to his death in 1935. Wow. He was a humorist, an entertainer, a writer, a movie star, a radio host.
Yeah.
And he was one of these people who just seemed to catch the public imagination, and just a tremendously popular person. For example, in 1934, after he became a movie actor, he was the highest grossing movie actor in Hollywood over Clark Gable and Mae West and Joan Crawford,
really?
I think. So, yeah,
that's
he's a multimedia
nugget.
Star. Yeah.
What was the appeal of him? Was he just a down-home?
Well, he was a country boy. He was actually a Cherokee Indian from the Oklahoma Territory, but he grew up on a ranch. He was a cowboy, and his shtick was to sort of make humorous commentary about American life as a country boy sort of come to the city. And
the format for that originally, was it radio when he's...
No. He started off in vaudeville then Broadway shows, and then he was in the Ziegfeld Follies. Huh. And from there, he got into radio first, and then the silent movies, and then the movies in the 30s.
But without... I'm not completely sure. Let's go back to... When did he start, Steve? 19...
Well, he started in vaudeville around 1910, give or take, and then...
If I'm not mistaken, I'd have to check with Elon, but I don't think the X formerly Twitter was around in 1910, right? So how does a guy like that who's starting on vaudeville kind of, you know, obviously when you have movies that come out and radio shows, but how do you start sweeping the nation like that?
Well, he's a really interesting guy because he was a kind of media revolutionary, because it's in the early 20th century when you get mass market newspapers he wrote for, mass market magazines, phonograph records, the radios coming into existence, vaudeville, Ziegfeld Follies.
So he's kind of a mogul, though.
Well, he had kind of a multimedia platform,
right,
he would say, and he's on all of them. So Americans encountered him often daily in their life. His newspaper column was in 300 newspapers around the country.
And when he was writing a newspaper column, was he more of a humorist, or was he trying to make some political points?
Well, both, actually. He often said that he didn't just make sort of stupid jokes, but he wanted to make humorous comments, that you'd be there with your friend and you kind of nudge your friend and say, you know, he's kind of right about that. So I think he was trying to make serious commentary using humor as a kind of means to do that.
Citizen Cowboy is the name of the book. One thing I want to mention here, Steve, you're going to be at the St. Louis County Library on Lindbergh tonight. What time
is that? 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 to 9.
If you'd like to swing by the library and see Steve in person, these are always great events that they do there at the library across from Plaza Frontenac, so you can learn a little bit about this book, Citizen Cowboy. Is it out yet? Is it now
out?
It
is. It's out, and you can get a signed copy if you come.
So what kind of... you know, you went to the Playboy Mansion when you're doing a book on Hugh Hefner. In this situation, how do you do all this research?
Yeah, well, this wasn't quite as much fun as the Playboy Mansion. There is the Will Rogers Museum and Archive in Claremore, Oklahoma, which was right where he was born. And it's a really great museum, but they have all his papers there and all of his personal effects and letters and the like. So I did quite a bit of research there. And all of his newspaper and magazine writing have been published in series of volumes by, I think, it's University of Oklahoma Press. And his movies you can still get access to on YouTube, actually.
See, and I don't even know, Sue, if you... I know I've seen clips of Will Rogers before, but I don't know that I've... I can't name a movie.
No,
you know,
I just looked him up, and you'll say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right, because, you know, if they didn't show it at Channel 11 on the weekends when we were kids, we did not
see it, right? No, right, exactly.
You know? I understand. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But he was a singer, too, yes?
Well, he did a little bit of that. He was actually an awful musician, but he tried really hard.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine that. I don't know how much was involved in this book and the research, but there would have to be a fair number of family members that are still alive.
Well, there's only a couple of his great-grandchildren are still alive, actually, so not a lot of family members are around. But his papers were there, so that was, you know, that's the real gold mine for a writer.
But when you decide, you know, I don't know what the... I've always find it fascinating if I talk to a musician about what the process is for writing a song, because everyone has different stories there. Directors, actors have different, you know, process. How do you start something like this? So you have to first talk about the subject, right? So you, right. you say, okay, Will Rogers is a guy that I'm going to do a book on. Was there an origin story for even making that decision?
Well, when I finished the Kennedy book, I was just looking for a new figure to write about, and I knew about Rogers. I'd taught about him a little bit when I, you know, my courses at Mizzou, mm-hmm. and I don't remember when it happened, but I thought, well, he's kind of an interesting guy, and I began to look into his background, and I think the last biography of him, serious one, was like 35 or 40 years ago.
Oh, that long ago.
It's pretty out of date, and so I kind of just circled around and wrote up a proposal, and, you know, that's kind of how you get the ball rolling. And
then forgive me for not knowing this. Are you still actively a professor at Mizzou?
No, I retired.
Okay, and so. I appreciate that. Yep. So that gives you a little bit more time. But then, what do you? How long does this all take? And then, how much you know research and writing do you have to do here?
Well, my sort of common time period for doing a book's about 5 years. So this one took about 5 years to do.
I did see that.
Usually do some research and get ahead of the game a little bit. And so I'd go do research and then I'd come home and write. And then I'd go do more research and then write. And so you do a little research ahead of the curve.
Do you send what you write to anybody to take a look at it or not? I mean, not like our friend Cindy here. Yeah.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I know an editor is going to take a look at stuff like that, but do you ever get feedback from family or friends, or do you?
Yeah, I have some family and friends. Well, like Cindy, and my wife, and I have some other friends and colleagues in town, and my agent read some of it, and my editor at Cambridge, and
it's just a process.
Yeah, it is a process. Yeah.
Okay, can I ask a dumb question?
That's my specialty.
Okay, good. Who is Roy Rogers and who is Will Rogers? and are they? They're not related, right?
Not related. No.
Okay.
Roy but that's
Rogers,
not a bad question, considering. Yeah, that's a good question, Sue. Don't insult yourself.
Well, because I get confused. When I drive on the Will Rogers Turnpike, I think, Will Rogers. But that's not Roy Rogers.
No.
And
Roy
I don't
Rogers.
Think they have anything to do with each other. Yeah.
Roy was the TV star in the 50s with the horse Trigger.
And
Dale Evans was his wife. And TV Saturday morning, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So.
But no relation whatsoever.
No relation.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting. All right.
Were there things that happened, Steve Watts, along the process of a project like this that kind of took you in a different direction than you expected or that were surprising in any way?
Well, you know, the one thing I didn't know at all when I started this project is that he was a Cherokee Indian. He was born into a family, a prominent Cherokee Indian family, and his father was kind of a big shot in the tribal government in the Oklahoma Territory. So he grew up sort of in a very different way from what I would have ever anticipated. So
then how did he discover his passion, if you will? Like, here I am. I'm a kid in 1975, and I'm listening to the radio, and I got my headphones on. I'm like, man, I'd like to talk on the radio and be a disc jockey. And that was where, you know, the origin of my dreams. But how do you, especially in an era like that, develop into what he became?
Well, it's kind of a strange thing. His father wanted him to be a rancher and a sort of a businessman rancher, and he was a cut-up and a show-off and didn't cotton to that at all. And what he was attracted to was throwing the lariat. So he was a cowboy, a real cowboy, and he loved to throw the lariat.
Who doesn't love to throw the lariat?
I can't think of a person.
I was talking about that. Someone asked me what he's going to do tonight. I'm probably going to throw the lariat.
He eventually became a lariat artist and sort of starred in cowboy shows. And that's how he really got his start in show business. And later on, when he became famous, some smart aleck dubbed him the country's poet lariat. So,
But did he have an appreciation that he was? I'm guessing that he was a showman. That it was a lot of it was show business.
He did early on. I think he's one of these people. I think had a kind of sixth sense for what he was doing at a deeper level, and I think he knew he was a showman at heart. And as his humor developed, he had a kind of sense that was his calling card, I think, to fame and fortune.
Well, the book is called Citizen Cowboy, Will Rogers and the American people. Stephen Watts is the author. He's going to be at the Public Library of Lindbergh tonight with the brand new book that is out. Are you already working? I'm guessing the answer is yes on the next project.
No, I'm slowing down in my old age, so I'm still promoting.
Take a break. Enjoy your time, Steve. That's what I would say. You've done so much. Name some of the books that you've written over the course of your history.
Well, books for the public. I've written biographies of Walt Disney, Henry Ford.
Yeah, Walt Disney. We talked about that a long time. That's a great story.
Dale Carnegie.
That's right, Carnegie.
John F. Kennedy, and now Will Rogers.
But you've also, if I heard through the lines there, you've also done some textbooks and stuff like that, too?
Well, early on, I wrote a couple of books for Johns Hopkins Press, sort of professional history type stuff.
Would you like to take a little bit of a leap into what people are experiencing on college campuses all across America with some of the, you know, when I went to Missouri, I'll put it this way, I'm not trying to drag you into the politics, but I had professors in 1983, 84 that didn't like Ronald Reagan, and there were certainly things that were said in classrooms, but I feel like it's a different time right now with kids and with professors, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I think I can say with some safety that there's not a lot of happiness on college campuses, including Mizzou, with recent events, shall we say. So, well, if I may throw in, too, one of Will Rogers' best-known saying is he said, I belong to no organized political faith. I'm a Democrat.
That's pretty good. I love that. That is very good. That's a good quote. I like that a lot. All right. Well, get the book. Order the book. You can find it at all your sources. You get a signed copy if you go to the public library off of Lindbergh tonight. Steve Watts, thank you for coming in. I appreciate my friend Cindy Schoutmeyer and her husband Steve for, you know, hopefully you're charging them a lot for the limo service and the transportation. I would invoice them heavily.
Well, they're kind of providing security and all kinds of things.
It's good to see them, though, but I don't get to see you guys as much. You know, we would every once in a while hang out at a Mizzou basketball game. Yeah, and then, you know, COVID kind of blew everything up, and we've lost touch a little bit with even people we were close to because we got thrown off our rhythm. So it's great to see you, and it's great to see Cindy and Steve. Steve, good luck with everything with the book. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Great
Thanks for coming in. Thank you. We got Frank Mealy coming up to talk some politics next on 97.1 FM Talk. Well, it feels like a Monday for me. Does it feel like a Monday for anyone else? The good news is it's almost the holidays, Sue. You know, I'm darn tempted, and I don't think I'm going to do this, but just because I'm ready for the holiday, I'm ready to turn the Christmas lights on. And I've been the one that has been policing this for decades. Don't flip those lights on until, I say, the night before Thanksgiving. That's a good time to go.
That's fine.
But I want the spirit of the holidays. I do. Yeah. I think we need the spirit of the holidays, right?
Well, then do it. If they're already up, you know, make a statement.
My neighbors will mock me, and Dave Klein, producer Meredith, will mock me. I know, because I'm going against my own rule. Audio cut of the day coming up here in short time at 5:45. Right now, Frank Mealy back with us. He's the retired editor of the Daily Interlake in Montana. He writes great stuff at Real Clear Politics. I'm sure he has fascinating things to say in the aftermath of the election from a couple of weeks ago. Frank, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Mark. Thank you for the incredible buildup of my time with you.
Well, and I think you were one that, look, you haven't wavered on Trump. I read your stuff all the time, and I think you were fairly confident the last time we talked that things were going to kind of move in this direction when it came to the landscape of the election. I never thought it would be this good. I didn't think they would hold control of all three branches, obviously narrowly in the House. But wow, what an election. Let's kind of start there with just some broad thoughts about what happened 2 weeks ago, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a realignment of some kind. We've got to wait, you know, a little while to figure it out and see whether it's a permanent realignment or not. But that's what Trump is after. He clearly, with his, you know, his motions after the election, he wants to cement what he started and create a FDR style, you know, realignment in the political world so that people who come after him won't have to deal with the deep state and all the other impediments that he was given as he tried to govern.
And that's where I think I'm most excited. And we're hearing, and I've spent a fair amount of time even this afternoon on DOGE, the Department of Governmental Efficiency. And the way that I've kind of positioned this, Frank, for the past 4 or 5 days is, you know, in 1984, I voted for my first president. And that was Ronald Reagan. And I felt very strongly then, as I do now, that, as he indicated, government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem. But if we're being honest, we haven't done anything to peel back the layers of government. It's only grown. The cost has only grown. Never, ever does it go in the other direction, certainly not at the federal level. So now there's a real opportunity. But I guess my question to you would be, do we have our hopes up too much? Because this stuff's not going to be easy, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, it's with the direction he's taking is, I am going to get what I want. And no matter how much you don't like it, I'm going to make you, the left, very uncomfortable. And people don't like that because we've been taught for decades that the way to govern is to get along and to, you know, make these compromises and bring the other side on board. But bringing the other side on board is what got us the $35 trillion deficit. I mean, it's why we don't have true government, you know, where the people are expressing their will through the government. The government has become a leviathan. It's got a life of its own. So he appoints Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. I mean, it's laughable on every logical basis.
Sort of is.
You would
yes.
ever imagine it.
Right.
So there's got to be something to it. And my thinking is, he's saying, I'm going to start with Matt Gaetz. And if you don't take Matt Gaetz, I'm going to go to Paxton in Texas, the guy who the Texas legislature impeached and tried to get off. And if you don't like Ken Paxton, I'm going to go with Mike Davis from Article 3 Project. But it's going to get worse and worse and worse for the left and the Democrats. And eventually they're going to say, well, we got to okay somebody. And he's going to get what he wants. It may or may not be Matt Gaetz, but it's going to be somebody, you know. If Tulsi Gabbard goes down, he's got Mike Flynn waiting in the wings. What's going to happen to the heads of the liberals?
Oh, just when you thought the heads have exploded, you know, as much as they are, they will explode more. Look, the Gaetz one in particular does confuse me, just because I think with the other ones, and I know there'd be some questions about Pete Hegseth at Defense, and I don't know enough about Pete to say he's not qualified. What I do know is that there've been people in this Biden administration, and let's face it, in the Obama administration and others. The big thing for this administration that we're about to show the door is it has to be the first, right? It has to be the first woman, the first African-American woman, the first lesbian woman, the first trans man, the first this, that. It's all about the first. It wasn't about the qualifications. So it's interesting to me that the reporters and journalism is always, all of a sudden, Frank, focusing on, you know, actual experience. That's unique to me.
Yeah, qualifications and merit. Imagine that. I definitely think part of Trump's fascination with Matt Gaetz is the fact that Trump has been accused of all of this skullduggery and, you know, sexual impropriety and everything else. And Matt Gaetz has been accused. And the Department of Justice under Joe Biden declined to prosecute Matt Gaetz. It makes you wonder what kind of evidence they have about it. And Molly Hemingway wrote a really great piece today or yesterday about, you know, the evidence against Matt Gaetz and how weak it is and how the people who are accusing him of this impropriety are themselves in jail or, you know, otherwise engaged in moral turpitude. And, you know, so Matt Gaetz is, you know, he got accused. He probably has done some things in his life he wishes he hadn't done, but, you know, who hasn't?
Well, here's one of the problems, and you know this as a journalism guy. I know what I know about Matt Gaetz basically because of the legacy media. You know, you read something here, you read something there, you see something on Fox, on CNN, or whatever. I don't know a lot about the guy, but what I do know is that I don't trust any of the information from the legacy media. They proved it time and time and time again. So that's where, and I even said this last week in the aftermath of the nominations, I have to keep more of an open mind because we've all been misled. And let's face it, Frank, I've misled people down these paths based on some of the things that some of the legacy coverage has, you know, called out inaccurate ways in the past few years. So I want to be more cautious than ever because of what I'm told about different people and not what the truth is.
Yeah. One of the great ironies of this thing is the Robert Kennedy nomination, you know, and the legacy media is all about, oh, it's dangerous to put him in there because he says that Big Pharma is bad and we have to trust Big Pharma. Well, what percentage of advertising supports the cable news channels?
80%.
Big Pharma?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They're in the pocket of Big Pharma. And meanwhile, with a straight face, they can say, well, Bobby Kennedy's a danger.
It's hilarious. They keep doing this with even, you know, I was playing some of the stuff earlier because Sonny Hostin is going crazy over at The View, the most definitive political talk show in America. And listen to what she said here.
Look, the bottom line is that America needs a free press that is willing to speak truth to power right now.
So she's referring, so Frank, she's referring to Joe and Mika heading down there to Mar-a-Lago, kissing the ring. And she actually doesn't have the awareness to indicate to her audience that, yeah, you know what, part of the problem here is that journalists have no credibility whatsoever. And she's talking about how journalism has to speak truth to power after what that particular industry has gone through in the past 8 years in particular. It's ridiculous. But they keep saying things like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank goodness for Sonny Hostin and her questioning of Kamala Harris so that we
well,
find out
good
the
point.
Truth about it.
Yeah, she might. You know, it's interesting because that was one of those moments that got cited in a lot of the polling where she said she wouldn't change anything. Right. Well, at least she was honest.
I want to be Joe Biden 2.0. OK, Kamala, fine. We'll let you take that position. We'll see how that works out.
So, Frank, one of the things that you wrote, I want to kind of address this just because in the aftermath of what happened 2 weeks ago, I've experienced some of this as well. But you said, and if this is a national crisis, it's also a personal one. I related on this level. I doubt I'm the only one, you said, who's been confronted with friends and family members who are so disheartened by the nation's rejection of the Democratic presidential candidate and particularly the elevation of Donald Trump that they hold you personally responsible. Or some people hold me personally responsible. Because of that, they think that I've been told that I'm not safe. I'm not a safe person for them to be around, which is kind of fascinating. So there's these things that are happening in the weeks before Thanksgiving, which could end up in some uncomfortability next week during dinner, I would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really makes Trump derangement syndrome a legitimate psychological condition. I mean, it's amazing to me. I've got a friend, 40-year friend, my best friend in the whole world, and he won't talk to me. Thinks maybe after New Year's he'll be able to talk to me again because Kamala Harris lost the election. I have
something very similar. I have something extreme. 45 years, a couple of friends. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And my daughter is a little bit upset with me because of abortion. And she feels that I'm, you know, trying to take away her rights and everything. And, you know, and we get along OK, but there's definitely tension there. And, you know, it's like, well, in what world do we all see things the same way? I mean, what kind of universe do they want to live in? this is the whole beauty of life, that we get to experience things and come to conclusions based on our experience and then make decisions about where we want to go. And it doesn't mean we want to just go down one road and never talk to anybody else.
Yeah, I hope that some of this settles down. There obviously are a lot of emotions. I did have, look, I tried to take the high road with one of my friends. I reached out last week just to try to calm the temperature, and I think it might have worked. So maybe time, you know, will help in some of these things. But look, it's not, do you know of one person on our side that would have stopped talking to family members or unfriended people if Kamala Harris would have won? We'd have been pissed because we're losing the damn country. We're trying to save the country. But would we have behaved that way? The unempathetic right, Frank Mealy?
Yeah. Well, we had the experience for 4 years with Joe Biden. I mean, you know, there was a lot of anger when Joe Biden was elected president, because a lot of us didn't trust the mail ballots, the changing of, you know, rules against the Constitution, all the things that happened that led to his amazing 81 million votes. But it happened. And even though there was a riot and bad things happened, they tried to arrest thousands of people because of that riot and everything else, we reported to work as usual. We reported to Thanksgiving dinner. We're just like, well, it's not what I wanted, but I'm going to do something about it. And that's what we did. We waited 4 years and we changed the system. And Donald Trump really legitimately, if there is such a thing as divine providence, losing the election in 2020 is probably the best thing that ever happened to Donald Trump in terms of his ability to succeed, because he knows so much now. If he had just continued where he was,
I'm with you.
We were in a doldrum.
Yeah. We've talked about that a lot, because I think the approach is going to be different, which is why I have some look. Here's what I'd say about. Let me back up on Matt Gaetz, because I'm a call it like I see it type of person, and if there's a Democrat nominee for president appointing, like, I don't know if I could use AOC. That might not be the best analogy. But look, there's going to be appointments that would throw up a red flag for me on the other side, and I try to be consistent. So I'll keep an open mind on Mr. Gaetz. I like most of the other appointments, but that one confuses me a little bit.
AOC can't be the Attorney General. We all agree with that. But she could be the Department of Housing or something.
Right.
And you know, nobody's going to say, oh, you can't do it because you're crazy AOC. I mean, we know she's crazy, but she's their crazy.
Yeah.
You know? They get to appoint whoever they want. And with Pete Buttigieg, I mean, the guy didn't know anything about transportation.
He was a mayor and he was gay. Those were the qualifications. He had two qualifications. Frank, you have a great week. Thank you so much for jumping on here on a Monday.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Piggybacking off of that, and I was going to save this for cut of the day, but it works too well here. This is in Chicago. It's a high school in Chicago. I don't know if it's been identified where it is, but there is this... I thought he was in eighth grade, so I'll have to see, because that's not really high school, is it?
That's what you originally told me.
Yeah, I said eighth grade earlier. I'm trying to look at the story here, because they don't really say what school is. But, all right, let's assume he's maybe in ninth grade, because he's in high school. The video from which I pulled this audio is very extensive. It's pretty long. But what you find at first is this kid basically challenging his, not only his classmates, but his teacher to say, you guys are crazy. What, you think that... you know, Trump's a threat to women. In what way is he a threat to women? He keeps repeating the question. He doesn't understand. And they don't really have good answers for him. And then at one point, and this is the area I'm going to play the audio here, his teacher essentially talks about what we just refer to with Frank. In other words, I have friends that are MAGA, and I can't be their friends anymore. They have let me down. I didn't realize that I was friends with such evil people. That's essentially what he's saying. Check it out.
Just because... I think I expected that our country was, citizens were more decent.
Because they voted for Trump, they're not?
Yeah, so it's a little hard to hear, but first of all, this sounds like a really quality teacher in Chicago public schools. He says, I guess I didn't realize that I lived among such people that, you know, weren't quality people. They weren't decent people. And the kid says, you mean because they didn't vote for Trump?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Jared.
He's a messed up
person. You don't care. What? Our citizens not decent because they voted for Trump?
You have your views? And I have mine. I'm entitled to mine.
But that's why you cut the ball.
So
because
I have friends that tell me that, oh, MAGA, 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 I can't be friends with them.
Because he voted for Trump.
Because
exactly.
What?
You don't get it.
Some people can't have their own opinion. Trump is a good president. Some of y'all are blindsided by what's out here on the internet.
Yeah, the last part, he says, you guys have been blindsided by what you heard on the internet. And let me just quickly correct the young man. No, you know what they've been blindsided by? What they heard in the legacy media. It's not the internet. They've been brainwashed by that. But good for that kid, thinking for himself, saying, what are you guys, even your logic doesn't work. And black kid in high school in Chicago, smarter than his damn teacher, who, by the way, sounded like a complete idiot. Telling you, go back and watch the undercard, the final fight with Amanda Serrano, who beat the Irish lady, but the judges gave it to the Irish chick, and I don't know why. Because
I'm impressed how much you like that.
It was a great fight. Yeah. I mean, for people, if you were tuning in to see a good boxing match, like I think people were, you did not get it with Tyson and Jake Paul, is my understanding. Now, I can't say that because I went to bed and we were having issues with the, with the signal, but just as someone who has watched some really good quality boxing matches over the decades, that was a hell of a fight. It was really competitive. They went back and forth. There were moments where, you know, both fighters were kind of on the ropes and they gave it their all and, you know, poured their guts into it. So I was really impressed with that. But yeah, the other fight, not so much. Let's see here. I have an audio cut of the day. I was trying to see if I have any kind of notes to mention here. One thing I should throw in, just because I did talk with Mike Kenny the other day from Defined Destinations, we're still getting a lot of interest in the Greece trip. The problem is we only have a couple of cabins left. So if you'd like to go to Greece April 27th through May 7th next year, defineddestinations.com. You can also find the specific link of the trip on my Twitter page, which is at Mark Reardon KFTK. And if you have any questions, reach out to me or to Mike personally. It's going to be a fantastic trip. It's a very, very intimate ship, not a 3,000 to 5,000, passenger Carnival cruise line or something like that. It's very, very small and intimate, which is why we don't have a lot of cabins. So defineddestinations.com to find out more.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, so Monday, and had a little trouble narrowing, so I'm going to throw a few in here for you on a Monday afternoon. And this is one that's very, I think, consistent with what we saw in the lead-up to the election. And part of me feels dumb that I didn't just lay it on the line here in the weeks before the election and say, look, this is going to go Trump's way. There's no doubt, because of moments like this in the city of Chicago with African-American residents that are just sick and tired.
Yep.
They're American taxpayers, and they're not getting the benefits that they pay for because of illegals.
I'm a black man, and I don't see at you. I see through you, and I see the lies that you have been saying since you became office.
You're going to protect the undocumented while you're going to allow for the citizens in Chicago to suffer.
You ain't going to abide by what the president of the United States said. Everybody know better than that. Loser, get rid of the illegals.
Illinois is turning purple. We're going to turn red.
Who's on there calling? What, you know what those are? They're a bunch of xenophobic, bigoted, racist people, right? Because that's what they call us when we talk about migrants that are not legally in this country, draining resources, raping women, committing crimes. Those are, why won't the legacy media, why won't Joy Reid go on MSNBC and call them racist and bigoted? Yeah. Because they actually have legitimate issues in their city that Brandon Johnson, their embarrassing mayor, is not taking care of, and he's doubling down. So there's one part of your audio cut of the day. I like this. I always like Bill Maher. He's been featured quite a bit on this segment, talking about RFK Jr., Sue.
Well, the system as it is, the way we do health, is already very so maybe he'll make it worse, but, like, my head is not exploding about it. He certainly said some crazy
Yeah.
He certainly has said some crazy But we do need shaking up.
Yeah, we need shaking up, and that's what we're going to get. We're going to get it shaken up in the FCC. This is Brendan Carr, who's the Ned, who'll be the next head of the FCC. But listen to this, because this is just embarrassing.
In 2021, Vice President Harris agreed to lead the administration's signature $42 billion effort to extend internet service to millions of Americans. It's now been 1,039 days since that program was enacted. After all of that time, not one person has been connected to the internet. Not one home, not one business. Not even one shovel worth of dirt has been turned.
Ladies and gentlemen, your federal government, your United States federal government, not getting a damn thing done, spending a ton of money and wasting it.
And it gets worse. No infrastructure builds will even start until sometime next year at the earliest, and in many cases, not until 2026. This makes Vice President Harris's $42 billion initiative the slowest moving federal broadband deployment program in recent history.
So let's hope that we don't have moments like that in a couple of years or in 4 years where there are promises that are made. But I really do feel like this is a group of people and a legislature right now, Congress and United States Senate, that wants to get some things done. And they realize that, you know, the time frame is very tight. And that's why they're going in quickly with appointments. We're hopefully, you know, asking for some recess appointments. I'm still a little unclear on how that process is going to work. But look, there are things to do. And we're going to talk more tomorrow because I really want to focus on DOGE. We did a little bit today, the Department of Government Efficiency with Vivek and Elon, because I think there's really, really good opportunities. I'd love to have some of the things that I've shared on the air to the audience over the years from Tom Coburn in Oklahoma or some of the other lawmakers, Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, that have highlighted government waste. Citizens Against Government Waste is another great group over there. You know, but it's a very small audience that they kind of, you know, get their message out to. I'd love for more of the American people to recognize the amount of waste, red tape, inefficiency.
Yes.
We might just get there. Have a great night. Kind of a crappy football game tonight, but that's okay. We're back at it tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.